It's going to be an amazing time. And Alpha is an exciting part of what we want to be doing here at our church. And so if you think, you know, I would love to learn how to lead an Alpha, but I'm not quite sure, you know, approach Pastor Ken or myself about coming and just observing and learning what the curriculum is about and how to lead it. And we can go from there. And so I just want to invite, if you're out in the foyer and you want to come in, please do so. We have lots of room in here. We can pack in nice and cozy and tight. So I'm really excited for this morning. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I have those moments where it hits me that I'm not the person that I want to be. Does that ever happen to you? And this morning is one of those days where it's just hit me so clearly that I am not yet who I want to be. And it's exciting that God is so faithful and that he provides us always a way back to him. And so I'm grateful for that. Brought my water bottle up here this morning because every time I preach, I usually have, you know, this time where all of a sudden my throat is so dry and I am like, and I was saying to Josh, I'm like, yeah, I need to start, Josh's my husband, he's back on the soundboard, and I said, you know, I need to start bringing something up, because I just don't think that I'm used to talking for that long at a time, and he kind of just looked at me like, yeah, it's definitely what it is. Anyways, got my big healthy human cup, and you know, and while we're on the topic of, you know, beefs, not beefs, I don't know, maybe beefs. You know, so my husband would also say that I have a bit of an Amazon issue. In fact, this morning before we came here, I actually said, you know, I think you need to change the password and not tell me. I think you need to change the Amazon Prime password and not let me know what it is. And anytime I want to purchase something, I'm going to need to ask you for it, okay? Like this is a safety I need to put in place for myself. I see some nods over there. For my own spending habits. So yes, I have a bit of an Amazon issue, and Candace, our office administrator, can attest to that as well because she often has to sign for packages because I'm here during business hours, so I just have everything sent to the church. And some of it's work-related, but some of it is personal, and I will tell you, anything I can order on Amazon, I do. So we're talking toilet paper, toothbrushes, deodorant, toothpaste, cat litter. I ordered underwear on Amazon yesterday. I don't know if that's an overshare. Socks. Like, seriously, if I can get it on Amazon, like, I pride myself on getting, I would say, 98% of my Christmas gifts on Amazon. Like, I just, why go to a store when you can get it on Amazon? And so, because of my Amazon, it's an addiction. I'm just going to, you know what, I'm going to talk today about being honest with each other. It might be a bit of an addiction. So because of my dependence on Amazon, you know, and I have to confess, I've made it sound very reasonable, like, oh, I order just toilet paper and socks. You know what, sometimes there's books, there's decor items. I have an issue with stationery as well. I order a lot of pens. Okay, so it's not shoes. It's not all just reasonable things, hence the changing of the password. Okay, so I'm bringing home tons of Amazon boxes weekly, really, okay? And so we also have a fire pit in our backyard. And we love to sit around the fire with our friends and our family and just enjoy good food and good conversation. And we do it year-round, so winter, summer, doesn't matter. We love a good winter fire. And so I bring these boxes home, and Josh wants to use them to start fires with. Great. And so in our living room, there's a door in our living room. We live in an old house built in the 50s, and in the living room, there's a door that connects. It goes straight out to the backyard. And so he'll pile these Amazon boxes by the back door for starting fires. But, you know, life is busy, and we don't have as many fires as we want to have, unfortunately. So there are piles of boxes, right? Because I'm always replenishing the box pile. And this, we have discussions over this sometimes where I will say, so for those of you who live in a house in Fort Saskatchewan, you'll know that weekly recycle gets taken away, right? And it's amazing. You don't even have to collapse the boxes. You can just throw them on your front lawn and they take them away for you. And so every Thursday night, Josh has an alarm that goes to remind him to take out the garbage and the recycle. And I always say, oh, yeah, you should grab the living room boxes. And he goes, well, no, I'm going to use those for a fire. And I'm like, when are we going to have a fire next? And so it's a point of contention in our relationship, these boxes, because you know what? They look ugly, number one. Like, it looks like we're living in a dumpster a recycle bin. And, I trip over them and I bang into them and I just get really... I get frustrated about it sometimes. And like I said, I'm constantly bringing more home. So the next time we want to have a fire, trust me, I will have a box ready to go for it, except for maybe not now because of the password change. But okay, so I thought about that story and I thought, our lives are kind of like a room or a home, right? And we're walking around our house and we have all of this junk that lays around that isn't supposed to be there. And I'm not trying to say, Josh, that your boxes are like a spiritual issue. Not at all. Just the analogy hit me. And so we have these things in our rooms, in our homes, that when we're walking around in our day-to-day lives that we keep stubbing our toes on or we bang our shins into or we trip over. And those boxes, those, pieces of Lego on the floor, the leftover chocolate bar wrapper, I'm just describing my home, but, those can be different things. Those can be habits. They can be sins, wounds, hurts, lies about God, or traumas that are laying around in our rooms, in our houses, that we are continually tripping over, that we're continually stubbing our toes on, that are continually messing us up and preventing us from getting through, our day-to-day in the way that we want to. And there's a lot of reasons that we don't clean house, right? And I'm going to go through three reasons that cause us not to just pick up the things, because it makes a lot of sense, right? I'm tripping over this box. I'm just going to move the box so I don't trip over it anymore. But if it was that simple, we would all have perfectly clean houses, right? And perfectly clean hearts and minds and lives. And so one of the reasons, I know for me, that can stop me from cleaning house is I just don't know where to start. So I'm going to speak concretely now. So in our home, Josh and I, we're not the best housekeepers. I'm just, again, it's confession time. So things get really messy. And sometimes we're like, okay, we need to deal with this, right? Like, this is getting out of control. But we just, where do you start, right? You look, you're like, oh, the laundry needs done. And I love the people I see nodding their heads right now. Those are my people, I can tell. I have a friend, it's Candace. She can't go to bed without cleaning up first. I wish that was my issue. Like, I wish I was like, oh, I just can't sleep until I do the dishes. Because I can sleep with a sink full of dishes. I can sleep so well with a sink full of dishes. And it's a problem for me. And so, sometimes we're like, okay, we need to clean up. And so we're like, well, we have laundry to do. And there's all those cardboard boxes and blah, 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 blah. We don't know where to start. We feel overwhelmed. And so we're like, you want to watch a show? Let's watch a show. Okay, sounds good. And so that can happen in our lives too, right? You look and you go, okay, I have so much junk in my life. I have so many emotional problems. I have so many wounds. I have so many past hurts. I don't even know where to start. And you think about it and you just feel so overwhelmed that you put on a show, because that works to ignore your emotional and your spiritual trauma, as well as, the dirty dishes. And so there's always a way to start. And what I want to recommend, and what I've done in my own life, whether I'm actually cleaning my house or I've sought to clean my internal house, is start with the big pieces. So maybe there is a giant unconfessed sin in your life, and it's affecting everything. You feel guilty. You can't get close to God. You can't be honest and authentic in your relationships. That's a giant box. That's a good place to start. Pick up that box. And the thought of that might be, you might say, Ashley, I can't do that. You have no clue. There's absolutely no way that I could do that. You know what? You can. And God can give you the strength to do that. And some of the hardest conversations that I've ever had in my life have led to the absolute most freedom. And I promise you that that's the truth. Or maybe there's a habit or addiction. It could be Amazon. Like, it could be shopping that does harm your life. But a habit or addiction that is negatively affecting many areas in your life, and it's flowing out and it's touching everything. Start with that. Or maybe there's a hurt that you have, and it goes so deep, and it affects a ton of your decisions that you make. And when you stop to realize, you're like, wow, I'm really operating out of that place of woundedness, and I'm choosing to say no to certain things, and I'm choosing to say yes to certain things, and it's because of this brokenness that I have. So reason number two that we don't clean house is maybe we think that these boxes are helpful and we'll eventually be able to use them to start a fire, right? So maybe you feel like your unforgiveness protects you from ever being hurt again, right? That person hurt me, and so there's no way that I'm going to let someone else do that to me. Or maybe you feel like your selfishness is protecting you from having others take advantage of you. And you think, you know what? If I don't make myself vulnerable, if I don't give, there's no way that someone can take advantage of me. But I'm convinced that this is not how Jesus wants us to live. The Bible is almost alarmingly unconcerned with our rights, with what we are owed, with how we should be treated. And instead, the Bible tells us that if someone wants you to go a mile with them, that you should go too. And the Bible also tells us that we shouldn't be concerned with bringing justice, that we shouldn't be concerned with getting ours, that God is full of righteousness and he alone is completely just, and he's going to handle all of that in the end. And because what we do a lot of times is we think, okay, I need to punish the people who've hurt me. I need to punish the people who are in the wrong. But you know, when we do that, we're trying to play God, right? And I don't know about you, but I am not big enough to play God. And sometimes this is how it goes in my mind. Not always. This is like on one of my better days where I will think, oh, that person, they've done this thing. They've wronged me. They're so out of line. They have no clue. And then I think the Lord will reward them in the end. And I find comfort in that. And then I think the Lord is going to reward me in the end. But because of Jesus, what I'm getting rewarded with is grace and mercy. And it's a lot harder for me to want to have God strike that person down and start praying the Psalms against them. It's amazing when we operate out of how much we're loved. It's when we really see change happening. So reason number three, maybe you've tried to clean up the mess. Maybe you've tried to pick up the boxes. Maybe you've tried to clean the food up off the floor. And you think that you've done it, and then you realize, you come later and you realize, I missed a whole piece. There's a banana peel under the carpet, and it's growing maggots. Great. But you know what? That is disgusting. That reminds me of a fruit fly story, but we don't have time to tell it today. But there was, our house one time was infested with fruit flies, and I was like spraying them down with a bottle of Lysol, all because I had not realized that there was a bag of rotting cucumbers from my mom's garden hanging on the door. I see something. It's happened to other people too. But friends, this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. This is where us being empowered by God Almighty, who created the universe and who in him is all power and all glory. That's where he comes in to help us clear out our junk, to help us be healed from our addictions, to be healed from our pain. We can't do this ourselves. In fact, when you're trying to clean your room up on your own, you're only ever going to be frustrated and disappointed and discouraged. So we talked about a few reasons why we don't clean our house. And I want to talk about today, we're going to be taking communion. I'm so excited for that. And as a church, as Christians, we make much out of the sacrifice of Jesus. We talk about it all the time. The songs that we sing, everything that we do in a service on a Sunday is talking about Jesus coming and dying for us, taking on our sins so that we might be reunited with God. But I want to ask why. What are we saved to? What are we saved for? Why are we given this amazing opportunity of new life? Do you think it's so that we just continue on in our own way and not enjoy the benefits of it? just like you as parents, even the people who aren't parents here, I have a niece and nephew, they're here today. I didn't know they were coming. That's so exciting for me. I want only good things for them. I want the very, very best. And if I, an imperfect, fallen, broken person, wants the very best for my niece and nephew, what does God want for us as his children? He wants more than pain and frustration. So I want you to imagine with me, okay? Imagine a person who is homeless. They're destitute. And they were born on the streets. They've never had a home. They've never had anything that comes along with that. They were born into abject poverty. And the whole time they've been alive, they've had to scrounge for food. They've never been fully warm. They've never been completely filled. And night to night, they don't know where or if they're going to have shelter. They lack the proper nutrition, and that's affected their physical development. So their teeth are rotting, their skin is sallow, their hair is falling out, and they drag themselves along through life. No hope or light in their eyes. They're completely dejected. And there's another person in my story, and this person is very wealthy and very kind. And they are looking to see if they have any family to share their wealth with because they have a company. And anybody who's a part of the family automatically has rights. And so they're making inquiries all over the city. They check with the shelters and they check with the hospitals and they check government records. And they finally discover that the person that we were just talking about is actually their relative. So they find them. And they say, I have a home for you, and I have a living allowance, and you have a legal right to it. So here you go. This is awesome news. So let's fast forward a few years, and we check in with our friend, and we find out that they haven't been living in the house. They've been staying on the property, but they've been sleeping outside. They're still hungry. Their skin is still sallow. They're still alone. Their bank account is piling up with this living allowance. They haven't touched any of it. They finally had a friend in this person, and this person offered them friendship, but they scorned it. So they're still alone, malnourished, still cold, still unfilled. Does that make sense to you? To be given access to what you need and to not actually make any use of it at all. When I hear that, but we can't judge our homeless friend too harshly because we do precisely the same thing with God on a regular basis. As heirs through Christ, we're given access to freedom and friendship. But I want you to be honest with yourself right now. You know what? And you can think about other people that you know, but let's take a moment and just think about ourselves. How many of us are here in this room this morning, Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church, and we're drowning in sin, we're drowning in anxiety, we're drowning in fear, guilt, bitterness, judgment, anger, shame. Doesn't make much sense, does it? We just celebrated Jesus coming in flesh so that he can die for our sins, to give us access. But even though we don't have good reasons behind not taking advantage of what we have in Christ, we're still doing it. It's still working for us somehow, right? So I want to take a minute and I want to look at some more reasons, some more excuses that we have for why we don't access what we have the right to in Christ, for why we sleep out on the property instead of going into the house and taking advantage of the friendship and of the care. And all of these lies, they prey on our pride and they prey on our fear. So for the past 4 or 5 years, I personally have been on a journey of freedom. And God is so gentle and he's so gracious. And he's never clobbered me or forced me. Like I said, it's been 5 years. And so some of you might remember, Heartland they do encounter God twice a year. And, you know, I always get up here and I beg and I plead with you to please sign up for Encounter God. And remember, just recently I told you the story about the first time that I went to Encounter God and how I would have never signed up for it willingly. But Pastor Craig, who was our lead pastor at the time, said that the whole staff had to go. And so I had to go. And I told you about how I was so terrified and my legs were just shaking. The part where it was the second day in the morning, we were about to get into our triads to confess our sin, and my legs, they were going like this, and I thought, I'm going to pass out. But if I pass out, then I won't have to confess my sin. And I was like, maybe I want to pass out. Anyways, it was terrifying. That was the start, and I would count Encounter God as the start of my journey, when I finally was able to get real about some things and to come before God honestly and openly. And you know what? It was three encounters in before I finally confessed all my junk. I held it back each time, and I have no clue why. And I think, wow, I really wish I could go back to the first one and just have said it all there and had more freedom right away. But you know what? We're human, and God knows that, and he's gentle with us. And he didn't abandon me, even though I didn't say it all the first time. And so I want to talk a little bit more about my story. So we were at prayer retreat, which is a wonderful privilege that we have as pastors in the Alliance. We get to go to Lake Louise, and it is a beautiful 4 days where we're encouraged and uplifted, and we eat good food, and we pray, and there are wonderful times of healing, and there's a prophetic ministry, and it's wonderful. And when I was there, I knew that I had some more work that I needed to do with God. I knew that there were still some areas in my life that I needed to surrender, still some lies about him that I was buying into, still some fears that I was holding on to. And there is this wonderful psychologist in Edmonton. His name is Dr. Wilson. And he's a PhD psychologist, but he's also a powerful spiritual warrior. And I knew someone who had gone for a deliverance appointment with him. And we hear deliverance and we think, like, casting demons out. And maybe that's a part of it. But that's not the whole story. And I thought, you know what? No, I need to go and I need to talk to someone with some discernment. And I need to just face these lies that I've bought into. And I just need freedom. I'm tired of being afraid. And the thought of going into an appointment like that has terrified me my whole entire life. But again, it's progressive, right? I went to Encounter God, and I was able, you know, to progressively do more and more of these things. And so what I did, at prayer retreat, I realized, okay, I have to do this. And so I told Josh, I said, you know what? When we get back, I want to make an appointment with Dr. Wilson. And that was important for me to be able to speak that to him, because that then held me accountable. I made a declaration. I said, okay, I want to start moving down that path. And so for me, my story of why it has taken me so long, it's because the enemy was playing on my fear, and he was playing on my pride. I was afraid of God. I was afraid of what would be revealed in me if I presented myself fully to the Lord. And pride played a role. How can I, as a pastor, say that I need deliverance? Am I not supposed to have it all together? One of the lies that the enemy feeds to me that, you know, I've even struggled against this morning that actually God revealed to me is this lie that if I am not perfect, I will be kicked to the curb. If I mess up, then it's over in many, many areas of my life. And so I thought, okay, I'm a pastor. How can I say that I need to go for deliverance? Am I not supposed to have it all together? And it can be really frightening in this image-driven culture to say I have need. But I'm up here regularly urging all of you to be honest to each other about your needs. So I need to be honest with you about my needs. And that's what I'm seeking to do this morning. And I want us to, again, just think honestly with ourselves. How many of us live authentically with Christians, with the Christians around us? You know, we pray for each other. And, you know, we're kind to each other and we make each other meals when we're sick. But do we actually dive down into the gross, murky, nasty waters and get real with people? I don't know about you, and I hope I don't. Well, maybe if I shock and scandalize you, that's okay. But I don't know about you, but there are places in my heart that I have felt like if anybody sees that, I'm done. If anybody sees that, I will be, you know, put out with tomorrow's recycling boxes, tomorrow's Amazon boxes to be, you know, taken away. Or I think, oh my word, no one's going to want to be my friend. I'm the only person who struggles with that. I'm the only woman who struggles with that. I'm the only, you know, person who has these feelings or has these thoughts. And so I want to tell you some of the lies that I've heard and that I've believed and that have kept me from seeking freedom, okay? All right, so here's number one. You're so uniquely sinful and perverse. You're an abomination that doesn't fall under God's plan of redemption. I've heard that my whole life. And I've believed it. Number two, you are so filled with evil. You're so dark. If you go around godly people, they will see right through your pretense and kick you out of the church. Number three, you're filled with demons. Number four, if you talk and pray through your fears, you'll die. Number five, no one has ever committed that sin. Number six, when you confess, people are going to be nice to you on the outside because they're Christians and they have to, but they will be judging you so hardcore. Am I alone in that? I'm going to venture a guess that some of you have heard lies that are just like that. And maybe if they aren't worded exactly like that, they have the same quality and they have the same tone. But I'm here to say, so I went for my deliverance appointment 2 weeks ago with Dr. Wilson, and I'm alive. I'm sitting here. And let me tell you, it was nothing but a beautiful, wonderful experience where I felt the love of God and his care for me as my father so strongly and so powerfully, and where he just took those lies and he just lit them up and he just said, no. No. And so I want to encourage you this morning, friends, that whatever junk is in your room and whatever reason you've had for holding on to it, that God is big enough and powerful enough and loving enough to clean house with you. And it won't be instant, most likely. Some things will be. You know what? There are going to be some things you're going to be delivered from them right away. But it's a journey. And like I said, when I actually get around to cleaning my house, I start my physical house. I start with the big items first. I don't go around and pick up the tiny little things. And that's how it often works with us too, right? We pick up those big items and then God graciously says, oh, you know what? There's something you've been dealing with it so long. You don't even realize it. Every time you walk across that, you're in pain, but you are. Oh, okay, I'm going to help you deal with that. Then you deal with that and you find freedom in that area. And then you're going along and you realize my shin is numb because I have just gotten so used to banging it on that one thing. And then God says, okay, let's deal with that. Let me help you. God isn't here this morning shaking his finger at you, demanding that you do an insta clean. I want you to hear me say that. And so this morning, I want to invite you to take some first steps with me. We're going to come to the table in a few moments. And I'm excited because we're going to come forward. And there's something so powerful about that act of getting up and walking and saying, this is for me. And there's a big loaf of bread and you're going to rip a piece off. And I think that there's something so powerful about that as well. Because in that you're saying, I need this. I was a part of breaking the body of Christ. So we're going to come forward. Folks can come down this row, and folks can come down that row. And then after you come and you take communion, there are going to be elder couples, two at the back, and they're going to be there to pray with you. They have an oil to anoint you, if you would like, and they can pray for spiritual healing, physical healing, emotional healing. They can pray that you have the courage to have a conversation that you need to have. they can just join with you and declare together that you are now choosing to walk in the light. There are no limitations on what those prayers can be for. And let me tell you, you know what? I was having a really rough morning this morning, and I asked a couple of our elders to pray for me before the service started, and it was wonderful, and I felt nothing but love and care. So I encourage you that that will not be a situation where there is any judgment. There's just going to be joy that together we're finding freedom. So like I said, likely we're not going to leave here today with our lives fixed. But we can leave here with a decision made. So just like at prayer retreat when I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I told Josh, okay, I'm going to do it. And that allowed me to have accountability. So maybe it's sending an email or talking to me right after the service and saying, you know what? I want to sign up for the next Encounter God. And I'm going to tell you so I don't chicken out. And if I chicken out, you can say, no, you said you're coming. Because I can do that for you. I can be really forceful if you give me the permission to do that, all right? Just ask my family and friends. There's also a soul care coming up in March at St. Albert Alliance. And this one's a little bit more involved, and it's tricky for those who work regular business hours. So that might not be for you if you are, again, yeah, working the Monday to Friday 9 to 5. But if you have that availability, or you can take it off, maybe it's talking to me or sending me an email. Even right now, you could take a second, send me an email and say, yeah, you know what? I want to attend that. And I'm going to let you know before I chicken out, because trust me, I've chickened out many times. Maybe it's sending a text or an email to a friend and setting up an accountability relationship. Okay, and accountability is just, it's not just for sex. It for sure is about sex as well. But you know what? It can be about anger. It can be about alcohol. It can be about drugs. It can be about anything that's taking you away from Jesus. It can be about being too judgmental. So maybe it's today what you need to do is you need to send that text and say, hey, I want to meet up and I want to talk. Maybe it's contacting a spouse or a friend or a family member and saying, we have something to talk about. And maybe you know that if you leave here without making that commitment, you're going to chicken out of having that conversation. That's happened to me many times. And so you're just going to make that first step before we leave today. Like I said, I'm not saying that we're going to solve our lives today, but today we can draw a line in the sand and we can make a declaration that we're going to surrender our lives to the cleansing and the healing power of Jesus. And friends, sometimes when I'm up here, I wish that there were more than words and this shaky thing I do with my body to communicate to you how much I care about what I'm saying. We need the freedom and the power of Jesus in our lives so desperately. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, he didn't just purchase forgiveness for our sins. Yes, it's great that we are saved from hell. That is awesome, and I'm very thankful. But he also purchased the ability for us to live lives that are filled with freedom and joy. And so when we're told in the scripture that Jesus purchased our healing, spiritual, emotional, and physical, that he purchased our complete wholeness, we celebrate that when we come to the table. And we're going to do that, like I said, in just a few moments. But communion also provides us with a sacred time to be thankful. And by the eating and the drinking, we acknowledge and act out that his sacrifice was for us. So I want to read from Isaiah 53. And it foretells the suffering that Jesus endured on our behalf. So I'm going to read the whole chapter. So just close your eyes if that helps you focus. And just listen to this. So who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. He's talking about Jesus. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. The peace that is offered through God was purchased because Jesus was punished. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, and though the Lord and through the Lord makes his life an offering of sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So if you're here this morning and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, but you're hearing what I'm saying and you're saying, I want my sins to be forgiven. I don't want to spend eternity apart from God. And some of that peace and freedom that you're talking about, that sounds pretty good too. All you have to do to make that a reality for yourself is to say, Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. And I recognize that you died to save me from my sins. Please forgive me. I want to serve you and make you the Lord of my life. And you can do that where you are right now. And so when we celebrate communion, we're celebrating the sacrifice of Jesus. And as we take the bread and we drink the cup, we're remembering that the body of Christ was broken for us and the blood of Christ was shed for us. So I want to invite those who are serving communion with me up to the front. And the elder couples that are going to be praying at the back, if you want to come to the front as well and receive your communion first, and then you could head back there. So like I said, once you receive communion, if you want to head to the back and receive prayer, please go ahead. There's no judgment here. And like I said last week, if anyone is judging, they need to check themselves, right? This is time between you and the Lord, and do whatever you need, okay? Like I said, if you need to send a text message, if you need to send an email, if you need to kneel, if you need to get on the ground and lay face down, please take time to do that. This is time between you and God. And so there's no order that we need to come in for communion, all right? Just as you're ready, after you feel like you've prepared your heart, then you can come forward to receive it. For those of you who need a gluten-free option, we do have that. And we have juice in little cups that hasn't touched any gluten as well. So let me read this for us, and then you can start to come. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We want to do that this morning. We want to proclaim his death because he is so good to us. And through that death, we have life and we have freedom.